Hare Krishna, thank you very much everybody for attending. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Jashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vana Chari. Yamuna Tira Vana Chari. Bihari Jaya Radha Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. 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 Ravanachari. Yamuna Tira Ravanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha. Shripad Paramahansa Parivrata Acharya Stotra Siddha Sri Srimad, His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaya Charanarvindam Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya, BBT Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Guru Brinda Ki Jai, Sri 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 Guru Parampara Ki Jai, Jai Granthraj, Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapurana Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Kalachanji Ki Jai, Shri Gaura Bhakta Brinda Ki Jai, Nitai Gaura Premanande Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to you, Srila Prabhupada. So today is a most wonderful day. It's the holy disappearance day of a saint who walked amongst us, Her Grace Kirtida Sundari Devidasi Ki Jai. So very fortunately, our spiritual master describes that she was very, very merciful that she left her body a day before Bhaktivinoda Thakur's festival, so that it wouldn't disturb Bhaktivinoda Thakur's festival. So we have a special festival for Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur tomorrow. And today we're celebrating Mother Kirtida Sundari's Holy Disappearance Festival. And today's verse ties in very nicely with her. We'll see how that happens. But let's first please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamajyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Turubhascha Kripasandhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhya Vaishnavebhya Namo Namah Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Granthraj Srimad Bhakta Mahapurana Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Shri Gaura Bhakta Brinda Ki Jai. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11. Today's chapter number 15, which is the description of mystic yoga perfections by Lord Krishna himself. And starting with text number 20 today, we'll do 21 as well because there's a purport in 21, there's no purport in 20. Chakshusvastari samyajya. Chakshusvastari samyajya. Tvastaram apichakshusi. Tvastaram apichakshusi. Mam tatra manasa dhyayan. Mam tatra manasa dhyayan. Vishvam pashyati durataha. Vishvam pashyati durataha. Chakshushtvashtari samjagya Tvashtaram api chakshushi Mam tatra manasa dhyayan Vishvang pashyati durata Jai, please repeat. Anybody? No? Yeah. Chakshustvashtari samyogya Tvashtaram api chakshushi Mam tatra manasa dhyayan Vishwam pashyati durataha. Very good. Adi, you want to try? Chakshustvashtari samyogya Vashtaram api chakshushi Mam tatra manasa dhyayan Vishwam pashyati durataha. You want to give it a try? No? What's your name, by the way? Eris? Nice. Well, welcome, Eris. All right, so transliteration. Chakshuhu, the eyes. Dvashtari, in the sun. Samyogya, merging. Dvashtaram, the sun. Api, also, chakshushi, in one's eyes, mam, me, tatra, sorry, mam is me, sorry, me, tatra, there, in the mutual merging of the sun and I, manasa, with the mind, dhyan, meditating, vishvam, everything. Pashyati, he sees. Durataha, far away. Translation, please repeat after me. Merging one's sight into the sun planet, and then the sun planet into one's eyes, one should meditate on me as existing within the combination of sun and vision. Thus one acquires the power to see any distant thing. So next verse. Manomayi su samyogya deham tad anuvayuna madhārana anubhavena tatvātma yatrave manaha. Translation. The yogi who completely absorbs his mind in me and who then makes use of the wind that follows the mind to absorb the material body in me obtains through the potency of meditation on me the mystic perfection by which his body immediately follows his mind wherever it goes. Purport. Tad anuvayuna indicates the particular subtle air that follows the mind. When the yogi merges this air together with the body and mind in Krishna by the potency of meditation on the Lord, his gross material body, like the subtle air, can follow the mind anywhere. This perfection is called Manojavaha. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnana Jana Shalakaya Chakshurumitam Yena Tasmei Shri Gurave Namaha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Tamal Krishna Goswami Namne. So I'm going to read some verses before we start. This is from Devi Gyati Panchaka. Matsamo nashti papatma na paradhi chakashana parihare pi lajjame kim bruve purushottama yuvitinam yatha yuni yunang cha yuvito yatha mano bhiramati tadvad mano me ramatang tvayi. O Purushottama,
There is no sinful person or offender who is equal to me. How can I describe my shame? Just as the minds of young ladies take pleasure in a young man, and the minds of young men take pleasure in a young woman, kindly let my mind take pleasure in you alone. Bhumoskalita padana bhumir eva valambanam tvai jata paradhana tvam eva sharanam prabho. Just as the ground is the only support for those whose feet have slipped, so also you alone are the only shelter even for those who have committed offense to you. Govinda valabhe radhe prate tvam aham sada tadiyanam iti janatu govindo mam tvaya saha. O Srimati Radharani, the dearest of Lord Govinda, this is always my request to you. Please let Lord Govinda, along with yourself, consider me to be one of your assistants. Radhe Vrindavanadishe Karunamriti Vahini Kripayani Japadabja Dasyang Mayam Pratiyatam. O Srimati Radharani, O Queen of Vrindavan, you are a river flowing with the nectar of mercy. Please be kind upon me and give me a little service at your lotus feet. And then this is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, glorifying the Srimad Bhagavatam before reading the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sarva Sastrabdi Pliusha, Sarva Vedika Satfala, Sarva Siddhanta Radnadya, Sarva Lokeka Drikprada. O nectar from the ocean of all scriptures, singular fruit of all the Vedas, rich mine of the precious gems of all conclusive truths, you are the only giver of light to all the worlds. Sarva Bhagavata Prana, Srimad Bhagavata Prabhu, Kalid Bhantu Aditya, Shri Krishna Parivartita. O life heir of all the Supreme Lord's devotees, O Master Srimad Bhagavatam, you are the sun risen in the darkness of Kali, you are the exact image of Sri Krishna. Paramananda Pathaya, Prema Varshakshirayate, Sarvada Sarvasevaya, Sri Krishnaya Namostate. I bow down to you, who are supremely blissful to read. Your every syllable pours down a flood of prema. You can always be served by everyone. You are Sri Krishna himself. Madeka bandho matsangin, madguru man mahadana, man nishtarga madbhagya, mad ananda namostate. My only friend, my constant companion, my spiritual master, my great wealth, my savior, my good fortune, my source of ecstasy, I bow down to you. Asadhu sadhu taddayin ati nichochtakara ha namuncha kadachin mam premna hrit kanteyospura. O bestower of saintliness to the unsaintly, O exalter of the most fallen, please never leave me. Always appear in my heart and my voice with pure love. Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapurana ki jai. So today's verse continues Lord Krishna's description of mystic yoga perfections that he is describing to Uddhava. This part of the Bhagavatam is called the Uddhava Gita. And the 11th canto deals with how to reach out to other living entities, how to become perfect oneself, and how to reach out to other living entities so that they may also achieve perfection like that. So, earlier on, Lord Krishna had described to Uddhava, Sri Uddhava, that to reach out to the persons in Kali Yuga who are so much absorbed in material life, they're so absorbed in material life, one should actually go through a process of three steps. Step one is to bring them to the mode of goodness. Because in the mode of goodness, they can achieve the brain cells, those white corpuscle brain cells, that actually allow them to understand spiritual matter. And then take them to self-realization, where they'll understand about the soul, and they'll understand that they're not the body, they're actually the soul. Because right now, materialists are pursuing life with the view that how can I gratify my senses because I am this body? I am my mind, I am my intelligence. How can I gratify these? I am my ego, my false ego. So how can I gratify these? And they're really working very hard to gratify their senses. But in actual fact, they're not the body. We're actually the spirit soul. It is the soul who is the person. And when the soul departs the body, we say so-and-so departed. It's amazing. They don't see the connection. That actually it is the soul who is the person. And without the soul in the body is like dead matter. It can't do anything. And then the third stage is to bring them to full-on Krishna consciousness, where they can come to understand that they have a personal relationship with Krishna, and also understand what that personal relationship is, and that that personal relationship is consummated in a place called Goloka Vrindavan, which is our original home. The forest of Vrindavan is our original home. So, in different parts of Lord Krishna's description in the 11th canto, he refers to the different aspects of coming towards him. Here, he is talking about meditation, and meditation on him through sound, through vision, through the mind, like that, all these different methods that he's giving. And his purpose is somehow they will then advance, if they make an effort like that, and they meditate on him through sound, through vision, through hearing, through tasting, through the mind, like that, through touch, the five senses, the mind, and through the intelligence, then they will come to self-realization. They'll come to realize, I'm actually spirit soul. And that the spirit soul also has needs. And its most important need is to love. This is why, even in this world, we can see amongst materialists too, that love is the most powerful thing and nothing can defeat love. And that love can defeat everything like that. That is because of the nature of the soul. So then the soul hankers for its eternal beloved. And its eternal beloved is Sri Krishna. Because we all emanate from Sri Krishna, as Sri Krishna says in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Aham sarvasya prabhavaha mattaha sarvam pravartite. That everything and everyone emanate from Krishna. And the wise who know this, engage in Krishna's loving service. They understand that this is my best and most important activity, that I should love Krishna like that. So here Krishna is saying that merging one's sight into the sun planet and then the sun planet into one's eyes, one should meditate on me as existing within the combination of sun and vision. Thus one acquires the power to see any distant thing. So this can be understood at three different levels. At the level of material life, it is exactly how it is described, that actually people can actually merge one sight into the sun planet. You'll see this in India in the morning. People will get up, and just as the sun is rising, they will stand and they will look at the sunrise, at the rays of the sun as it's coming. And it strengthens the eyes, and the idea is to merge the eyes into the sun. Now they can see very far away. They can see actually very far away. And then also meditating on how one can merge the sun planet into one's eyes. Now that's a little harder. That's a little difficult. And herein lies a very important lesson for us, that although these processes are recommended, these are very difficult processes. So sooner or later, when a person is working very hard and realizes that one is getting very little reward, and someone comes and says to them, I can get you much better reward for this same work, then obviously the person will say, where can I do that, right? If you're being paid like minimum wage, which like might be say $6 an hour, $8 an hour, and someone comes and tells you, but you can actually get $50 an hour. Why are you working for only $8 an hour? Obviously, you'll say, where can I do that? Let me do that. And so then they come to this higher level of work. Similarly here, Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita that it's all right for one to think that one is God. comma, until one meets the devotee of Krishna. Because the devotee of Krishna can describe why you're trying to become God. It's going to be a very difficult process. It's a very difficult process. And in the end, why? God is responsible for everything that is happening. Would you like to be responsible for everything that happens? It's so hard to be just responsible for what one does oneself, right? What to speak of being responsible for somebody else. And especially for those of us who become parents, we can see that when we become responsible for children, how hard it is to actually take responsibility like that. And teachers who have students have the same experience. Gurus who have disciples have the same experience like that. When the people are dependent on you, responsibility is not an easy thing to do. So why are you doing that? Actually, and if you want to take responsibility, why not take responsibility for God? If you want to be so responsible, why not become responsible for God? Why not become God's father or God's mother? Or God's teacher, or something that is actually where actually you are looking after God. That's a higher position. Surely the parent is in a senior position to the child. So Supreme Lord Krishna is so secure and so loving that he allows his devotees to take a superior position to him like that. So sometimes devotees get confused. Why is Krishna speaking about these topics in the 11th canto? It's because Krishna is actually describing here how one can achieve all the things he spoke about until the 10th canto, because the Srimad Bhagavatam is about Krishna and explains the message of Krishna. And what is the message of Krishna is given all the way till the 10th canto. In the 11th canto, one is explained how to practically now apply this. Because one can have the knowledge, but then how to apply that knowledge is being given in the 11th canto. You see? So when one comes to applying the knowledge, obviously you go back to the basics again, right? Like say, for example, one may have learned A, B, C, D, E, F, G in kindergarten. But when the time comes to apply the knowledge, one may again speak about A, B, C, D, E, F, G to show how you can make a combination of these letters and turn them into words, and then those words into prose, that is literature, right? There's poetry, that's a song, like that. How can one make complex forms of the letters into words, into poetry, into literature, into songs, like that? You get the idea? So that's what's happening here in the 11th canto. It's not that Krishna is saying, go back to kindergarten and start learning A, B, C, D, E again. No, you've learned that. Now you need to practice it. Because a lot of people learn these things, but they don't know how to practice it. You see? They're confused. And the reason they're confused is because the heart is not clean. Until the heart is clean, one will not have a clear understanding of Krishna consciousness. It's not possible. Because Krishna is sitting in the heart, and he's sitting in the heart for our purification. And when we become purified, then all the knowledge becomes very clearly understood. And one can apply it properly. Not that one will do things in a way that actually are misbehavior. And we see that even amongst devotees. In our movement, we can see many devotees who misbehave. And the misbehavior is caused because of the unclean heart. Heart is not clean. The heart needs to be cleaned first. When you clean the heart, then all misbehavior will go away, because naturally one will become a gentle person. One will become a person who knows how to behave in different circumstances, how to be respectful of seniors, how to be loving towards one's peers, and how to be merciful towards one's subordinates, those who are innocent and are taking shelter of us. How to do that properly? How to relate with the Lord? How to be always enthused and happy? And not at times morose and angry and frustrated and confused and all these things, which all come from this word called kalamasha. So this is why there's a very nice verse in the Bhagavatam that says, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, iti shodashaka nam nam kali kalmashu nashanam. So this kalmasha means that in Kali Yuga, there are going to be many, many faults. There are going to be many different issues that affect the heart in such a way that the heart becomes contaminated by material desires, becomes contaminated with desires that are contrary to Krishna's desire. Now, why do we have to align ourselves with Krishna's desire? The reason is that we are his reflections. And so, the reflection can only do what the original is doing, right? So until we understand that we are the reflection, we're not going to be able to reflect Krishna. We're not going to be able to, as a result, be happy, because Krishna is always happy. Krishna is always happy. We cannot be satisfied. Krishna is always satisfied. He's Atma Rama, like that. So all the good things that actually are meant for the living entity, the child of Krishna, will not be available to us because we are children of Krishna. Krishna describes that aham bija pradapitaha, I am the seed-giving father of all living entities. He also says, mamai vamsha jiva loka, jiva bhuta sanatana, that we are eternally connected to him as part and parcel of him, just like a child in part and parcel of the parent, right? The parents actually see the child as part of them. If something happens to the child, they become very affected by that. Like that. So what we need to do is come to that point of again becoming connected to Krishna like that. And so Krishna is asking, meditate by this method. In the next verse he says, the yogi who completely absorbs his mind in me and who then makes use of the wind that follows the mind to absorb the material body in me obtains through the potency of meditation on me the mystic perfection by which the body immediately follows the mind wherever it goes. Prabhupada actually said that in future, devotees will be so advanced, he said, that they will be able to travel by the power of their mind. They won't have to board a flight to go to another country or to go to another planet. That they will just, by the power of their mind, be able to go there. Prabhupada said that ISKCON will deliver the three worlds. Well, you're not going to deliver another planet unless you can go on that planet, right? And of course now NASA is talking, we'll go and colonize Mars. But this is just a pipe dream. You know, they have no idea what's happening on Mars. They think they know what's happening on Mars. When they go to Mars, they're going to realize it's easier to make sure that this planet runs nicely than to worry about going to another planet. But there are ways to go to the other planet. And by the way, when you do go to the other planet, what language are you going to speak? Because they don't speak English there. They don't speak the language we speak down here. They have their own language. And so how will you know their language? How will you be able to relate with them? Plus, they don't have earth bodies like we have. They have Martian bodies, which are different. They're made from the Martian atmosphere. We're made from the earth atmosphere, you see. But when the devotee goes there, by the power of the mind, the devotee is able to deal with any type of body because the mind is not made of earthly body. It's made of a universal construction that allows it to actually go anywhere and take part anywhere. So this is the process that they should follow. NASA would be better off investing in Hare Krishna and figuring out how we're going to perfect our mind to the extent that we can actually go there, and that's going to be a lot cheaper, right? Instead of spending billions and billions of dollars, and in the meantime, so many people are going hungry and suffering in this world, right? There's so much injustice in this world. Instead of correcting those things, we're thinking, let's escape planet Earth, so that because we messed planet Earth up big time, right? So let's go and mess up Mars now. Well, let's go and mess up the moon. Let's go and mess up all the other planets. And, you know, it will keep messing up all the planets until there are no more planets left. And, of course, there are billions and billions of planets, not just the nine planets that, you know, material scientists think there are. There are many, many planets. And so, you know, they'll have a long time messing up all those planets. The fact is they won't even be able to mess up the Earth planet, because there will always be devotees on the Earth planet who, by the process of chanting of the holy names of Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, will keep things in purification state. So the earth will always have that strength. So how does this tie in with Mother Kirtida? Mother Kirtida always absorbed her mind in the service of her spiritual master. And it is described that the spiritual master is non-different from Krishna. Every morning we sing in the Mangalarti, that the spiritual master is Dharitvena. And Dharitvena means that he is actually none other than Krishna himself. And it says Samasta Shastra. It means all scriptures pronounce this. It is the spiritual master who is the representative of the Supreme Lord. And when one absorbs one's mind on the Supreme Lord, meditating on the needs of and the instructions of the spiritual master, then one can attain perfection. And we can see in her life, she attained perfection. She became a saint. So many people loved her, and so many people became Krishna conscious, hearing from her, hearing about her. Just like we hear from Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, we hear about Krishna from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So like this, when devotees become advanced, they can hear from the devotee and about the devotee, and themselves become inspired to become fully Krishna conscious. Like that. So Srila Prabhupada says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, which deals with the science of God, Chapter 7, which deals with what Prahlad learned in the womb of the mother. By the way, education has to come to this point, that education has to start in the womb of the mother, not wait until the child comes out. Because in the womb of the mother, the child is focused, right? The child's not going anywhere. The child's not distracted. The child's listening to you. You know, normally people don't listen, right? When you talk to them, their mind is running here and there, their consciousness is running here and there. So they're not quite listening, but in the womb, the child is actually listening. Child wants to learn. It's amazing how advanced the child is in the womb. So what did Prahlad Maharaj learn when he's in the womb? And you can imagine, if he learned this in the womb, means this is very basic knowledge. And yet it is so advanced. From our point of view, it is so advanced, we've not even achieved this standard. So in chapter 7, text 30 to 31, the verses say, Guru Shushushaya Bhaktya Sarva Labdha Panena Cha Sangena Sadhu Bhaktana Ishvara Radhenena Cha Shadaya Tat Kathayam Cha Kirtaner Guna Karmanam Tat Padam Buruha Dhyanat Tat Ling Tat Lingek Shir Hanadibihi. Translation. One must accept the bona fide spiritual master and render service unto him with great devotion and faith. This is what she did. Whatever one has in one's possession should be offered to the spiritual master, and in the association of saintly persons and devotees, one should worship the Lord, hear the glories of the Lord with faith, glorify the transcendental qualities and activities of the Lord, always meditate on the Lord's lotus feet, and worship the deity of the Lord strictly according to the injunctions of Shastra and Guru. These are all the things that she did. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, in the previous verse it has been said that the process which immediately increases one's love and affection for the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the best of the many thousands of ways to become free from the entanglement of material existence. You remember I said that? That the soul wants to love, and that process is the best process. Of all the thousands of processes that exist, it is the best process. It is also said, dharmasya tatvam netam guhyana. Actually, the truth of religious principles is extremely confidential. It's amazing. How many of us hear this over and over and over again and still don't quite understand it? Because this knowledge is confidential. This knowledge can only be heard by a person with a purified heart. Therefore, the process is to purify the heart. Because when one purifies the heart, this knowledge will immediately become understood by us, and we become self-realized. And then we become Brahman-realized, which means become God-realized. So now our activities can be such that we're reaching out to others so that they will do the same thing. Not engage in activities that ordinary materialists engage in because we need to take care of our body and soul, or keep our body and soul together. Don't get too caught in these activities. It is true that the scriptures allow us to keep our body and soul together and do those things that allow us to keep our body and soul together, but have some faith in Krishna. Have a lot of faith in Krishna. Krishna can take care of any situation. Nonetheless, It can be understood very easily if one actually adopts the principles of religion. As it is said, dharmantu sakshat bhagavat pranitan. The process of religion is that which is enunciated by the Lord, because He is the supreme authority. This is also indicated in the previous word by the word bhagavato ditaha. The injunctions or directions of the Lord are infallible, and their benefits are fully assured. According to His directions, which are explained in this verse, the perfect form of religion is bhakti yoga. The practice of bhakti yoga, to practice bhakti yoga, one must first accept a bona fide spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada is such a bona fide spiritual master. Srila Rupa Goswami, in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1, 2, 74 and 75, advises, Guru Padashayas Tasmat Krishna Dikshadi Sikshanam Vishram Bhena Guruho Seva Sadhu Vartamanu Vartanam Sad Dharma Pritcha Bhogadi Tyaga Krishnasya Hetave. Quote, one's first duty is to accept a bona fide spiritual master. The student or disciple should be very inquisitive. He should be eager to know the complete truth about the eternal religion, Sanatana Dharma. The word Guru Shushusaya means that one should personally serve the spiritual master by giving him bodily comforts, helping him bathing, dressing, sleeping, eating, and so on. This is called Guru Shushrushana. This is what Mother Kirtidasundari did. She served Srila Gurudev very, very, very confidentially. A disciple should serve the spiritual master as a menial servant, and whatever he has in his possession should be dedicated to the spiritual master. Praner Athir Dhyavacha. Everyone has his life, his wealth, his intelligence, and his words, and all of them should be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the medium of the spiritual master. Everything should be offered to the spiritual master as a matter of duty, but the offering should be made to the spiritual master with heart and soul, not artificially to gain material prestige. We've seen this many times. Disciples actually serve their spiritual master not with full confidence. The spiritual master gives them an instruction and they don't follow the instruction. It's amazing. In Srila Gurudev's case, I've seen some of my God brothers and God sisters that when he was on the planet, they would not do what he told them to do. Exactly. You know, they did it according to their own desire. And then after he left, suddenly they're saying that they always did everything according to desire of the spiritual master. Because the spiritual master is not there to say, no, that's not quite true. So now you can say anything you like, right? And people become convinced hearing such persons. But then they become cheated. Why? Because one can only give pure Krishna consciousness to another person if one's own Krishna consciousness is pure. If one is pure-hearted, then one can give pure-heartedness to somebody else. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks in this connection that whatever is offered to the spiritual master should be offered with love and affection, not for material adoration. And this again we see how many devotees always try to promote themselves. It's me, it's about me. Big advertisements about me and my business. And it's all about me and my family, my devotion, my spiritual master. I did this. My Guru Maharaj told me this. It's all about I, me, and mine. Aham Mameti. This is not our process. Similarly, it is recommended that one associate with devotees, but there must be some discrimination. Actually, a sadhu, a saintly person, must be saintly in his behavior. Sadhuha sadacharaha. Unless one adheres to the standard of behavior, this standard of behavior, one's position as sadhu, a saintly person, is not complete. You see? This is the process. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that a Vaishnava, a person initiated into the Vaishnava cult, should be offered the respect befitting a Vaishnava, which means he should be offered service and prayers. However, one should not associate with him if he is not a fit person with whom to associate. What a important piece of information to us. And this is a bit of a difficulty in our movement, because in our movement, a lot of devotees present themselves as very senior devotees who've been in the movement for a long time. They speak and behave in a way that that sort of shows that they're very senior, and they show humility, but that is actually false humility. Real humility means that one understands that I am the servant of the servants of the servants of the Supreme Lord, that I'm a menial servant, that my purpose is simply to serve others in a way that the Supreme Lord will become happy, not doing things that actually look like one thing but is actually something else, because the whole agenda is contaminated by one's personal agenda, you know, one's personal being honored by somebody, being respected by somebody, like that. You'll see that during kirtan, they'll be talking, they'll be laughing. They won't be doing kirtan so much. They'll do a little bit of it so everybody can see I'm doing kirtan. Unless, of course, they're leading kirtan, in which case they'll lead kirtan in a very, very exciting way and show excitement and this, that, and the other. But if somebody else is leading kirtan, it really doesn't matter to them. They'll just walk out of the door. Or if they stay in the temple room, they'll talk to somebody and laugh with them while kirtan is going on. You notice this amongst devotees. These are things that we should notice, because this tells us, thank you, Prabhu. This tells us where their heart is. Their heart is not into the kirtan. While we're doing Guru Puja, the idea is that one should be focusing totally on the spiritual master. One should be praising the spiritual master. One shouldn't be thinking other things, what to speak of speaking other things. But after, 30, 40 years in the movement, we see these people do the same thing. They still, it's about them. It's not about the spiritual master. It's about them. And we need to stay away from this. And we noticed that in the case of Kirti Sundari Devi, she was not like that. Whenever she'd come into the temple, she was very absorbed in the deities and the devotees and the kirtan that is going on. Very respectful person. So we're very fortunate to have seen a saint like that amongst us. And by her example, we can also learn to actually do the right thing and become saintly in our nature. Sam, sit down, Sam. Sam, sit down, thank you. This way, what happens is that the knowledge of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the knowledge of Krishna consciousness, can become part of us in a way that we can actually then give this knowledge to others. Because the knowledge is very important. We're just discussing about education with the education ministry. ISKCON has an education ministry. And so we're talking about how book distribution is very important and how reading the books is very important. To acquire the knowledge from these books is very important. Book distribution is like Krishna. And the knowledge contained in these books is like Radharani. Education is like the Radharani of the Krishna of book distribution. Like that. These must go hand in hand. Prabhupada actually even said that to his very senior devotees. That yes, you are distributing my books. Are you reading my books? Because if you don't read my books, then it is pointless distributing my books. If people don't read them, we distribute them so people will read them. And then, more importantly, apply those principles in our lives. And we as devotees, if we don't apply the principles of our books in our lives, then others are not going to do the same. We're not going to be able to distribute many books because we won't have the purity. We won't be able to convince others. You know, they may become temporarily convinced by our enthusiasm, which is also not really genuine, because we're showing it because we want to show I'm a devotee. So you're very enthusiastic when somebody's around and you're showing them, but privately you're not very enthusiastic, you know. When nobody's watching, you're not really very enthusiastic. Then you're on the, on the phone, and you're, doing different types of chat programs and, things like that. Because that's your absorption. And the excuse is, I'm going to preach to somebody. You're going to preach to somebody on the phone. Yes, of course. First, preach to yourself. Get yourself organized before you worry about preaching to somebody else. You know, it's amazing how things happen. And it's like this wonderful devotee, her name is Govinda Dasi, you know, very, very senior disciple of Srila Prabhupada. So recently she was speaking, and she said that my prayer is that when I leave my body, I will be born where Srila Prabhupada is performing his pastimes, and also in Prabhupada's manifest presence, being the first set of devotees of Prabhupada. Why? Because when Srila Prabhupada was here, the mood was very different. There was a real absorption in Krishna consciousness. People didn't care so much about their body and soul, they really cared about pleasing Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada actually even said that this is the greatness of my devotees. They really love me. They really care about me. You know? And then as the generations go down, they become separated, right? So they don't have the same absorption in Prabhupada and in Guru and Krishna and in things like that, because now the absorption is a little more, how to make some money? And the excuse starts with, I'll make a lot of money and I'll support the Hare Krishna movement. And they don't actually make money. They go broke. They waste other people's money, their own money, their valuable time, like that. But then they tell nice stories about how things went in their life. That's not our process. Prabhupada didn't, Mr. Bhagavan, you were here when Prabhupada was here, did he? You know, tell people, you know, start a business, make a lot of money, and then give it to the movement. His only business, he told people, was distribute the books, right? See? Yeah. And did he give them a lot of money and say, here's a lot of money so that you can start a program? No. Yeah. You can find the money, start a program, start a whole movement in this city. With no money. Money has never been our consideration. Money is very important. Prabhupada was very interested in money. When it came of its own accord, he didn't pursue the money, he pursued Krishna. The idea is to pursue Krishna, not to pursue the money. When you pursue Krishna, then automatically these other things will happen. Everything will come into place. This is our program. But we see now the new generation is pursuing money. Oh, I have to have a nice job. I have to be materially secure. I have a nice house, you know, nice car. Wear nice clothes, travel to different places for sightseeing, right? These are the things that we see. So how one will have absorption in Krishna now? How will one develop faith in Krishna? Because we have faith in all of these other things. So if we have faith in all of these other things, then where will the faith in Krishna develop? So we can see that. So individually, we must be sure that we don't follow these examples. Please do not follow these examples. These are very bad examples. This is why Govinda Dasi, Govinda Devi Dasi, Mother Govinda, Govinda Dasi, she actually, Govinda Prabhu, she actually says, I would like to be born when Prabhupada is actually there. Because he would actually engage people in a way according to their nature, you know. And most devotees are not business people by nature. Most devotees are Brahmin by nature, Brahminical by nature. And Brahminical means live with a very little, just survive somehow. Yeah, we have children in our house. We can manage with the children. We can do things in such a way that we really love our children and at the same time be able to manage our lives nicely without pursuing money. It is possible to do that. Many people have done that and shown great example of how they brought up their children really nicely and been Krishna conscious at the same time. Not pursued money, not pursued businesses, not pursued occupations that take them away from Krishna. Like that. And we see that in the case of Mother Kirtida Sundari, she was like that. She at one time was a nurse and she spent a lot of time looking after people very nicely, as a nurse. And at the same time, she developed her absorption for service of Guru and Krishna, and then Krishna made all the arrangements and she became full-time servant of her spiritual master. Like that. and lived their life completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness, didn't try to pursue any other things, you know. And in the end, had actually, because of a, you know, insurance policy, this, that, and the other, had money that actually could be given to the movement for the upkeep of the movement like that. It's amazing. She achieved everything. Such a wonderful example. Jai Mother Kirta Devi Sundari Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Gurudeva Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Kalachanji Ki Jai. Shri Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Anybody like to ask anything? There's a mic there. Is it working? Nice.
When I was, when Kirtida, during her last days here, it was really a strong community spirit.
Yes.
That everybody in town seemed to be just worrying about Kirtida's going back to Godhead.
Yeah.
But that really worked in a lot of ways. I mean, we all remember, I remember Bhakti Tirtha Swami came here, just happened to be right after she passed away.
Right.
And he said that there's something here in the atmosphere that's very strong.
Mm.
Can you talk about what was that community spirit? What was happening that Bhakti Tirtha Swami noticed that we were all charged up with?
Yeah. It's the same thing that when Srila Prabhupada was here, right? When Srila Prabhupada was here, a lot of people said the atmosphere was really charged up, right? We noticed that, right? It was very clear when Srila Prabhupada was here. The atmosphere was very, very charged up, right? So, Mother Kirti's spiritual master was here, Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, Gurudev, was here at that time, right? And because of love for him and love for Kirtida, people rallied. They really came around and did things that would otherwise not be doing. They spent so much time at Rasikendra Prabhu and Padaduli Maharaj's house, you know, serving Kirtida Maharaj, and, you know, just doing a lot of kirtan, right? 24-hour kirtans were going on. And, you know, kirtan is where everything is, right? Prabhupada said that the essence of this movement is that Lord Chaitanya imported the process from Golok Vrindavan. What was the process? Golokera Premadhana Harinama Sankirtan. I was just reading this morning. Somebody was asking Srila Prabhupada, Bahulasva Prabhu. Bahulasva Prabhu? Prabhupada's disciple, Bahulasva. Prabhupada, how can we please you? Srila Prabhupada, please tell us. How can we please you? And he repeated the question a number of times because Prabhupada didn't answer. So, you know, sometimes people think maybe Prabhupada didn't hear me, right? So they ask the question again, they ask the question again, you know. He asked the question like 3 or 4 times. Then Prabhupada said, you can please me if you chant Hare Krishna. You can please me by chanting Hare Krishna. He said, actually, it's all about chanting Hare Krishna. When I came to America, he said, I chanted Hare Krishna, and now we have this movement. So he said, actually, he said, I'm very easy to please. Kishore, can you sit down, Kishore? Kishore, sit down, please sit down. Don't walk around, huh? Sit down, please. He said, actually, I'm very easy to please, he said. All you have to do is chant Hare Krishna, and I'll be happy. And then he said, I'm very happy with my disciples, because they chant Hare Krishna. It's amazing, right? It's an amazing answer. So at that time, of course, a lot of kirtan was going on, right? People were doing a lot of kirtan. It's actually the process, you know? And then they saw the love of the spiritual master for the disciple. Because people asked, after Mother Kirtida left, people asked this question of Gurudev. He said, Gurudev, do you love your other disciples as much as you love Kirtida? Because you obviously loved her so much. It was like clearly there for display how much he loved Mother Kirtida. It was amazing. Because generally, you know, there's this talk about should a man be with a woman and all these issues, a sannyasi and a female disciple, right? All these issues are there. They're very controversial issues, by the way. Big time controversy, right? And here, Gurudev was freely showing his love for his disciple. And people appreciated. Nobody felt there was any abomination there or anything like that. They actually were being uplifted by this wonderful exchange that was going on between guru and disciple. Right? So that was happening. And so, you know, people were feeling some personal reciprocation. Normally, we're a little impersonal, right, in our lives. Isn't that true? Would you say we've become more impersonal now than we were when Srila Prabhupada was here? I think we have become more impersonal in some ways. You see what I'm saying? So being personal, right? So it was like the holy name was present, and by the presence of the holy name, and the association of the spiritual master and the relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple and the whole community being surcharged by this, obviously there was a certain charge in the certain charge in the community, right? You can see the community was charged up. And I think this is the thing to do, to become very absorbed in our chanting process. To become very absorbed in the instruction of the spiritual master, which is to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, right? He wanted us to distribute this knowledge, to reach out to people in many ways, not just book distribution, but any way you can. Reach out to people, proliferate this knowledge, proliferate this information. Krishna says, nothing pleases him more than that. When somebody teaches this science, he says, that person becomes most dear to me, and there will never be anybody ever more dear than such a person to me. That's what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 18. So we can see the actual practice of that at that time, right? It was happening. And it totally uplifted this community. We can say today this community owes itself to that type of an event. Like that, some events have happened that are cataclysmic events, you know, that really uplift a community. In the meantime, we sort of like continue. It's a little like between the gopis and Krishna, you know. When Sam, you either sit inside or you go outside, okay? Don't keep moving around. You're disturbing people here. Don't do that. Just stay outside. You sit outside. That's right. Just don't come back inside. If you want to stay inside, stay inside. Don't move around like this. Make a choice. What are you going to do? Okay, then sit inside. Don't move around. Okay, so if we see in the gopis and Krishna, when Krishna was with the gopis were totally excited, right? They'd be like, can't believe their excitement. I mean, they were like thoroughly excited. And then when Krishna would leave for a little while, right, they'd become very morose. They'd be like, you know, man, this is so hard, you know. But what did they do at that time? They really thought about Krishna a lot, right? They would remember the pastimes of Krishna and survive that situation. Although they didn't like it, they just didn't like that separation. They were not happy with the separation. But they survived the separation by actually thoughts of Krishna. So we have these high points, right? Like when Mother Kirtita was leaving her body, it was a really high point. And there will be another high point, right? In between, it's not such a high point. But at that time, what can we do? We can think about what happened at that time. We can, absorb ourselves in thinking about Guru and Krishna and about, doing our service and being absorbed in our service. And then sooner or later, another big event happens. And you again become... And of course, we're lucky we had many big events, right? I mean, you know, when we have, like, say, for example, the likes of Bibi Govinda Maharaj coming here and doing kirtan with us, sitting down doing kirtan with us. It's a high point. It's a real high point, right? We can see everybody's just totally excited and just bubbling with, Krishna consciousness. You know? And that sort of allows us to survive for the rest of the year. And then some of us become excited individually by the different services that we do. Some devotees are very excited by their service. It's a high point for them pretty much every day because they're so absorbed in their service. They love their service. One such example is Mother Chandravali. She's so absorbed in the service of the deities, always taken care. And there are always big issues in the deity service. Recently, many devotees just went out for this reason or that reason. She had to take care of all these problems. You know, it's not easy. It's very hard. Deity service has to be done on time. The standard is high. Just yesterday on the GBC call, the GVCs were saying that there are temples now who don't have enough devotees to take care of the deities. So they're now admitting people who are first initiated to go on the altar. And what they do is they keep some extra Brahmin threads and they give them a Brahmin thread or something and say, okay, go on the altar, serve the deity. Because somebody has to serve the deity. You know? But in Dallas, that standard, we've always had second initiated. Why? Because of Mother Chandravali's absorption in taking care of the deities. She's so absorbed. She's always, always, always highly absorbed in Krishna consciousness. You know, you can tell when you meet Mother Chandravali, you can tell this is a devotee of Krishna. Right? Is that true? Yeah. So I think these are good examples for us to follow. We have to become like that. But thank you. It's a wonderful question, you know. That atmosphere is here today, and it's here because of Srila Prabhupada sitting here. Srila Prabhupada is actually sitting here. The other day, one of the devotees came in, and her mother and father were very, very inimical to her joining Krishna consciousness because she's from a Christian background, and they're very devout Christians. And they think, what's wrong with you? Why this heathenistic, you know, satanic cult you joined? You know? Very, very unhappy. And so, but she maintained her Krishna consciousness. So after many years, they decided, okay, we'll come to the temple to see the temple. So they came at the time of Sunday feast, you know. And kirtan was going on. It was about 10 to 8 after the main kirtan. You know, there's kirtan that happened. So the kirtan was happening. So they came in and they saw it. And the father, he commented, he said, who is that gentleman sitting there on the altar? He said, he is so peaceful. And he says, not a muscle is twitching. He's so absorbed. He says, it's obvious that he has devotion for the Lord. He's so devoted. He looks so devoted. And he says, it's obvious you all have so much devotion for the Lord. For the first time, the parents became convinced that actually she had joined a movement of people who are really absorbed in being devoted to Krishna. Just by looking at Srila Prabhupada. So with him present, how can the atmosphere be anything less than perfect, right? But it's our individual consciousness that sees it one way or the other. How many people go to Vrindavan and think Vrindavan looks like a material place? So many people think it looks like a material place, right? Why? Because Radharani has not blessed them with a vision. It is said, you don't go to Vrindavan just like that. You have to pray to Radharani, please allow me to go to Vrindavan. You have to pray to Srila Prabhupada, please allow me to go to Vrindavan. Only by their mercy can you actually go to Vrindavan and absorb the energy of that place. The topmost place in creation, Vrindavan. So many people come here and they don't feel much happening. They know something great is happening, but they not feel much because their consciousness is dipped. You know, it's low. It's low consciousness. Thank you for the question. It's a wonderful question. Any other questions, points? No? Thank you very much. All glories to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. Vanchakalpa turvascha kripasindhubhyeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Anantakoti vaishnava brindaki jai. Shri Gaura Bhakta brindaki jai. Shri Radha Kalachanji ki jai. Nitai Gaur Primanandi Hari Hari Bo.